Turn Hill, and I'm listening carefully to Jesus, who says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." My problem is I was born anxious. My mother was anxious. Her mother was anxious. I kind of inherited anxiety. And if I'd taken anything from my father, I wouldn't be anxious at all. And I just kind of swan through life. But I have deeply entrenched anxieties. And it's just part of me. So I always find this passage quite difficult. What do I actually worry about? Well, I do worry about what is happening at any moment and what's just about to happen. And, you know, like, will I be all right at St. Paul's this morning? You know, and I've been a priest for 20 years now, but I am always still very anxious. So let's see what we can get from what Jesus tells his hearers and us. God will give us everything we need, and we are to concentrate our hearts on the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is always central to what Jesus is teaching. And the kingdom of God is what we do with our lives and how we make the world more just. And our passage is clear that you cannot serve God and wealth. We are told not to worry about life's basic needs, such as food and clothing. Instead, it's urging believers to seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, trusting that God, who cares for the birds and clothes the flowers, will also provide for us. The passage kind of highlights the futility of anxiety and gives you the idea that there's freedom that comes from prioritizing spiritual matters over material wealth. And we need to recognize that God's eternal kingdom is far more significant than any of the earthly concerns. But to get deeper into what this text might mean, let's try and imagine the people that Jesus was speaking to. If you read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, which this is part of, you build up a picture of a fairly settled, law-abiding crowd. They're not so well off that they are cushioned from day-to-day worry and anxiety, but they do have savings and education, and they're reasonably satisfied with the way their lives are going. And then, everything that Jesus tells them is provocative and challenging to such a way of life that they have. And at least some part of themselves must want to be provoked, must want to hear what Jesus is saying and challenging. Otherwise, why would they be there in the first place listening to Jesus and his teaching? So they do want something to change, and so do we. So instead of listening for the reassurance, we need to listen for the challenge. So it's not what God promises, which the crowd already have, but what God asks. And the radical, imaginative picture of discipleship that Jesus offers in the Sermon on the Mount is there to shake us loose from life's petty things and get us excited about the possibility of a new and adventurous attitude to life. So God not only knows our needs, he knows more than what we need. God knows that we don't need more than one master. God knows it's the nature of humans to worry about life, which is circling on food, drink, and enough clothes to wear. But he then taught that multitude that life was more than food and body more than clothing. So to buttress the point further, Jesus referred to birds that don't plant or harvest or store in barns, and yet they're fine. They don't die of hunger and starvation. And clothing, lilies of the field don't make clothes, and yet they're better and more beautifully clothed than Solomon, King Solomon, with all his riches. So according to Jesus, our Heavenly Father does know that we need food and raiment that give life meaning. But despite the cutting down of wild flowers every now and then, it's neither gone into extinction nor have their beauty faded away. The big problem was that humans have little faith and trust in our Heavenly Father. And Jesus asks a very obvious question. How many have added a cubit to their lifespan with worrying? And according to Jesus, worrying belongs to the unbelievers who don't have God as their Heavenly Father, a God that will care and provide for them. So should there be anything that we're to worry about, it should be on how much we've sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and how we are seeking to lead a godly life. So let us think what is meant by the kingdom of God. Caring for others, acting with compassion, working to bring his justice and love to the world. So there will be no need to get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. All is underpinned by prayer, in being quiet with God alone and with others, and in reading the scriptures. So as God is always there, he will help us to deal with whatever hard situation may come up. We are urged to strive for the kingdom of God. So let us end with a text from Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.